Nice to see everyone here today. How many here like long sermons? I see two hands. Ruth Ann was out in her craft room the other day, and I was inside practicing this sermon. And I came out and I said, my sermon's only going to be 25 minutes long. One of the girls said, that's great. And she's here today, so. We talked a lot about voices and characters, and I'm reminded of John Crisp, who we've been talking about and who we're having the memorial service for this afternoon. There was a man that never had a bad thing to say to anybody, and if he did, he said it in a good way. And so it kind of leads into our message today, which is going to be about takers and givers. You know, there was a evangelist named Maury Vendon who once said they're givers and they're takers inside the church. And I think you'll agree with me that there's givers and takers outside the church as well. And from our message today, we should see which one we are and which ones we want to be associated with. So as we get started in the Word, let's go ahead and bow our heads for prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we certainly invite your presence here with us. How would we even dare to talk about Jesus, about you, about the things going on in our lives without including you? So accept our worship today for your glory, as always, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be reading from John, the 10th chapter. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 6, and as always, I like to read from the King James Version. John 10, verses 1 through 6, and this is another parable that Jesus is giving to his disciples. His disciples were there, and at times his disciples just didn't seem to get it. So let's go on and see if we get what is going on here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, to him the porter, also known as a gatekeeper, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So let's talk about what we just read. In those days, a sheepfold was a courtyard next to the house, or in between a couple of houses, or it could be in a cave up in the hills, and it always had a stone fence which a shepherd would build around them. This stone fence had stones probably the size of bowling balls or thereabouts, and there was always a gate or a door going in and out of this sheepfold. Sometimes a layer of thorns were put around the gate or the fence to keep other animals from coming into the sheepfold. The shepherd would then sleep right there by the gate, protecting his flock. Next in this parable, we encounter a thief or a robber. His motive is to steal the sheep, and the only way to do this is not to go through the gate, obviously, but instead to crawl over the fence. So remember, when the sheep heard the voice of a stranger, they were afraid and ran away. A little more history about what we've just read. Back then, the thief or the robber would wait till the shepherd, known as the doorkeeper, would fall asleep, and he would take that opportunity to silently crawl over the fence. He might even put his hand around the animal's mouth. And if he had help, he would hand one sheep over the fence, then another sheep, and then he would silently crawl out while the shepherd was asleep. Well, just think how terrible the shepherd felt when he woke up. Think how you would feel if something so precious was stolen from you. Well, for the shepherd, he would then go out looking for his lost sheep. He'd go looking for them because he knew every one of them by name. The shepherd would call out, Tahu, Tahu. And because the sheep knew his voice, they would lift up their heads and start running towards him. Now let's look at another point of this parable. What's the point of the parable so far, and what's Jesus really trying to tell us here? Well, it's interesting that he explains it himself, as he always does, in John 10, verses 7 through 10. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So there it is. Jesus said two times in these last four verses that he was the door. And why would he say that he's the door? Well, let's go on. As you know, we have the thieves and robbers in this parable, and we have to ask ourselves, who are these thieves and robbers? Did Jesus mean someone in particular when he was referring to them? Well, back then, they were the leaders of their time. They refused to come through him, the door, and they did not come to give anything, but they came to take and to steal. Today, if someone comes to us without coming through the door, they're not coming there to give us something, but they're coming to take something from us. Those kind of persons are takers and not givers. Wouldn't you agree? The person who comes to us over the fence instead of coming through the door is there to take something from us. Have you ever had an association with someone who's there just to take something from you instead of offer something to you? I think we all have. There are so many people who want to give us good advice. They want to preach to us. But if they do not preach Jesus, they're not bringing us anything. Now, I know this is a strong statement, but stay with me here. Based on Scripture, there's no way that someone can give us something without including Jesus. Let's clarify a little further what it means to come through the door. How does it work? In reality, what does it mean? Remember, the thieves and the robbers crawled over the fence, which indicated they were not the owners of the sheep, were they? The Pharisees and Sadducees during the time of Jesus had claimed that they were the shepherds of Israel, and yet they did not go through the gate. They came with their own agenda, and they expected people to accept what they had to say without questioning. Those leaders might have thought they were bringing something really good, but Jesus called them takers. Again, all people who offer something apart from Jesus is not a giver, but a taker. You and I know there are many ways to offer Jesus to someone else. Just being a friend with them, even when they hurt you. Being a friend who cares and listens to them. Helping those in need, no matter how tired or busy we are. Praying with them always and praying for them. Supporting and guiding them in their decisions that they need to make in life. Have you ever needed someone to help you with the decisions you made in life? That's a true friend. That's someone that's coming through the door. So what does it mean for us today? How do we come to someone with Jesus or through the door? Do we need to carry our Bibles around with us and expect them to carry their Bibles with them? Is that what a friend is? Well, we can see right away who the person is, if they're a giver or a taker. If that person brings us love and humility, then wouldn't you say they're sharing Jesus? And we can add to that love and humility in the same way and in the same spirit that Jesus would. Well, we could stop there, but if we did, we might find ourselves thinking, is that person a giver or is that person a taker? We might even look for something in them that's bad to see if they're the takers. But I don't think that's what Jesus wants us to do. The point is that we need to know who the givers and the takers are in our lives, but we can never become the judge over any person, never. Well, let's turn this around a little bit. As mentioned, when we come as Christians to people, we can come to them by the door or over the fence. And I'll explain this a little further. We might share our missions and our outreach. We might even remind everyone that we're the fastest growing church in the world. We might even share the Sabbath with them, but if we do not share Jesus, we ourselves become takers instead of givers. We can come to people with an attempt to change their attitudes and even make them healthier. As mentioned, we can even show them the proper way to observe the Sabbath and many other good things. These are all good things. But if we do not go through the door called Jesus, we might be looked at as Pharisees ourselves. Now let's talk about our personal lives a little more. The voices we hear in our mind either comes to us from the shepherd or from the stranger in this parable that we just read. The voice is either from the giver or from the taker. You see, in this parable, we learn that there was another element called the porter or the gatekeeper. This could have been a disciple that would bring a person to Jesus, or it could be a person which allows and helps someone to come to Jesus. So, on our personal level, who is it that helps us to listen to the choices we need to make in our lives? Yes, we know it's the Holy Spirit who helps us to make those choices in our lives, but at the end of the day, we are the ones that made those choices. Wouldn't you agree? So let's talk about reality. All of us grew up with different people in our lives who were authority figures. Those authority figures were parents or grandparents or teachers, spiritual leaders, and the list goes on. And you can add to your own list people who influenced you and who were your authority figures. Well, we got used to their voices, their principles, and their values. We learned how they think and what they would say. And we started to pick up on their traits. We were taught to accept their voices as being valuable and important. And so then we became like them in many ways. Now every time when we make a choice, whether we want to or not, we have that voice that we grew up with in our minds. That voice of authority which at times is not there to give us something, but instead there to take something from us. As we grew up, we might have heard and learned about guilt, or we might have learned about something called fear. We might have learned how to put ourselves and others down, and then we would bury ourselves with that guilt and that fear that comes to us from that certain voice of authority. But as the doorkeepers of our minds, do we keep listening to that kind of a voice, or do we choose to listen to another voice, which is the voice of Jesus who comes to give and never to take? Here's that voice which gives us life more abundantly instead of guilt and fear. And we are the doorkeeper when we make that choice. We can either continue to hear that voice from the taker or from the giver. It's our choice. Who do we listen to on our personal level when we begin to put ourselves or others down and down and down? What do we bury ourselves under that fear or guilt that comes from that voice that we were so used to hearing? And can we even help it? After all, we were brought up that way, weren't we? Well, as mentioned, we are the doorkeepers of our minds, and we have a choice. Do we keep listening to that voice of authority, whatever that voice might be in our mind? Or do we choose to listen to another voice, the voice of Jesus who comes to give and not to take, that voice which sets us free from guilt and fear and instead gives us life more abundantly, as we just read in verse 10. Well, it's not easy, but we are the doorkeepers of our minds. And we're also the doorkeepers of those who we will listen to in person. So the next time you catch yourself beating yourself up or thinking bad about yourself or someone else, pointing out the faults of others, ask yourself, who is sending you that voice, the giver or the taker? The voice might even appear to be over a good thing, or the voice might be saying something that you have done wrong and you keep beating yourself up. But continue to ask yourself this: is that voice coming to me through the door or over the fence? Is that voice coming to give us something or take something from us? Is that voice attempting to recreate something in you, or was it coming to destroy something in you or someone else? We need to be conscious of that, because Satan is the one who comes to steal and to destroy, and that is his voice. But unfortunately, we've become accustomed to the voice who wants to be our authority. Then so often, when we listen to that voice, we beat ourselves up once again, and it doesn't do us any good, does it? And so I challenge you today that whenever you find yourself beating yourself up from a voice you have listened to, or thinking bad about someone else, stop and think and pray if you can. Even when you're talking to someone, God can read your mind. Ask God to be able to hear that voice which comes through the door, and then the answer will come. Then, after stopping and thinking for a moment, ask yourself, was the voice coming to recreate, or was that voice coming to destroy? When you hear a voice that asks you to make a decision about someone inside or outside the church, be sure it's not asking you to destroy. And then when we do this, we can become the under-shepherds to Jesus, to heal someone instead of destroying them. We don't have to keep destroying ourselves and others, for when we stop and listen to the right voice, then we become the shepherd of the sheep. I'm going to tell you a little story, and I'll use the name of Betty. This is a true story. Betty came to church because she felt she had made such a mess of things in her life. She was seeking a new life for her and her two boys. Betty was a bartender, which helped pay the bills after her husband had left them. And she worked Friday nights, and she was a little tired, but she knew she had to do something that would make her and her boys' lives better. The boys were having trouble in school, and they were angry quite a bit of the time since their father had left them. So Betty felt that church and church life would help all of them. She needed something. Well, when Betty came in, you could smell cigarette smoke on her. And the boys kept saying they wanted to go home. But Betty was determined as she pulled them into the sanctuary, where the boys were somewhat disrupted through some of the sermon. Mom was overheard promising them their favorite bacon and cheese sandwich if they would just be quiet. And it helped for a while. But imagine how mad they were when she said they were going to stay for the potluck. At the potluck, Betty felt so guilty when she heard someone whisper, "Those kids need a good spanking." Someone else sniffed the air around her and told her, "Young lady, don't you know cigarettes will kill you?" What voices did she hear? Betty never returned. Did she hear the wrong voices? What would we have done had she come to our church that would help to create a new life for her? We need to consider other voices that are flooding into our church and with people we meet. You and I know, the devil's deceptions are sweet, and once we taste it, we want more. That's why Jesus warned us to be on guard against false prophets. False prophets claim divine inspiration, bringing new light and signs and wonders. But we're warned, they are always there to attack God's people. One of Satan's masterpieces is to encourage people to imagine they have new light. But we know any new light will not contradict the light God has already given his people. Obvious false prophets such as Jim Jones and David Koresh are not the issue here in these last days. Instead, the new false prophets are subtle and sophisticated with their new ideas. They always want to share it with us, have you noticed? And remember, the devil's deceptions are sweet, and once you taste it, you want more. These false prophets want to always bring us spurious signs and wonders and always attempt to destroy the writings of the last day prophet mentioned in the book of Revelation. Isn't it a mistake to listen to spurious signs and wonders, since they are the very things the devil is going to be doing in these last days? Jesus asks us to stay away from other groups that try to destroy what we believe. We're enticed to follow the stars and the blood moon for signs. And we need to ask ourselves, is that voice there to take, or is that voice there to destroy those things which we believe? Well, I could talk for hours about these things the false prophets are doing, but the devil gets enough attention already. Just be careful when he attempts to close your avenue to the door. We're asked to hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering in Hebrews 10:23. So remember this, if the voice tells you to destroy, stop and pray and ask God to be able to hear that voice which comes through the door. The thief wants to take something from us. We know that. And if we accept the wrong voice from anyone we meet, the sheep will become fearful and run away. And so I'll close by reading the first five verses that we already read in John 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So my request to all of us is, whoever we meet, don't be a stranger to them. Will you bow your heads with me? Well, there's so many voices out there, Heavenly Father, in the world today, that we need to know your voice and understand your voice when we confront anyone, or when we have those bad thoughts, or when we're trying to help someone in their own lives. So, Heavenly Father, help us to hear your voice always, and to stop and to listen when we're a little confused. And we thank you for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.